Are you playing the market, or is the market playing you?
You done taken a wrong turn.
The Money Life Market Call helps you answer the question by discussing what's working in the investment world right now.
It's working. It's working. It's working.
It's real guidance about real investments from real experts.
I play at expert level.
You might find that next great investment you were looking for, or hear that it's time to sell something you expected to hold on to.
Let it go.
You'll learn how investment pros make decisions and what they see for the future.
See your future. Be your future.
You may be excited one moment and angry or frustrated the next.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
But that's just life in the market, as Chuck Jaffe talks stocks, mutual funds, and more.
I can live with that.
In the Daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. It's the Money Life Market Call. And this is the part of the show that I know so many of you wait for. And today, well, you're waiting for all the right reasons. We love talking with savvy money managers who have distinctive points of view. If you've missed my guest when he's been on in the past, well, you're in for a treat. If you know him and remember him, then you know what you're in for. His name is Brian Frank. He is the manager of the Frank Value Fund. He is the president of Frank Capital Partners. If you want more information on the firm, it's frankfunds.com. But if you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, we not only have a link to frankfunds.com, but we have a link to a PDF that they've put up that shows their 10-year track record. And their 10-year track record is stellar. We have talked on this show recently, including on Monday's show, about active management versus passive. And what do people say? Well, you have a tough time with an active manager beating the index. Well, FRNKX, the 10-year track record will show you. They've just been out for more than 10 years, and they've beaten the S&P 500 for 10 years. We'll talk about that and much more with Brian. Brian Frank, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Always a pleasure to get a chance to chat with you. Let's talk first about methodology. Then I want to go into where that methodology has led you in this 10 years where you've beaten the market, but also where it's led you to now. So first talk about methodology, because that's got to be the underpinning for people.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been the same methodology for 10 years. We look in the cheapest 10% of the market. So it's a quantitative value strategy at the core. But within that 10%, we have a lot of circuit breakers, meaning when the bottom 10% is too expensive, kind of like today, we're allowed to hold a lot of cash. So we have a flexible perspective, and that's pretty darn important when protecting downside. But then also within the bottom 10%, we have a lot of quality metrics. So we don't just blanket buy it like some passive funds do. We're looking at things that don't deserve to be in that bargain bin, you know, maybe just have a short-term earnings disappointment or something like that. And our qualitative metrics will lead us to the best companies in the bargain bin there. We buy them and we hold them. And that's pretty much it.
Now, we talked about 10 years of beating the market, and that sounds great. And we talked about how you did it and how you're now holding more cash. 10 years of beating the market, but the last 12 months when the market's been doing great have been the toughest for you in terms of being able to beat the market. And is that because you're at a spot where you're holding cash? I mean, nobody's going to be disappointed with your performance. You're still doing better than the market. But it's been a more of a struggle for you in the last 12 months than in any other time in the 10-year history of the fund. Is that the market? Is that the methodology where you're holding more cash? What's driving that and making the market particularly tough for you now?
Yeah, it's been an extraordinary tough 12 months. We haven't lost money over the 12 months, so that's nice, but we've definitely returned less than the S&P 500. So relative performance wise, that's very tough. So yeah, we're looking more towards long-term periods, and our long-term record, as you mentioned, you know, it's pretty good. But, in the short term, anything can happen, and we've trailed before in 12, 24 and 36 month periods. Even in some five-year periods, we've trailed. But overall, it's a good record. But this 12 months has been probably the toughest 12 months I've ever seen relative to the market. And it's not so much a function of holding a lot of cash. 12 months ago, we were closer to 10% cash. Today, we're closer to 25%. So it's been a gradual uptick in our cash. But really, it's just value going completely out of favor. Value is more out of favor than I've seen in definitely the life of this fund, and my career goes back a few years before that. The last time we really saw this, I think, was 2000, 2001, during the tech madness. The things that are working today are high growth companies that don't even come close to a value investor buying them. I question even if some institutions are buying things like Tesla Motors, but that's where you're getting the return today. That's what's working. Momentum and growth are working, and value is just not only ignored but punished. So if you're a quantitative value investor, you're just getting killed every day out there. We've seen that before, not to this degree, but we have the experience and the flexibility to just hold our positions and know that the companies we own are making money. They're producing cash. Just because the market doesn't like them doesn't mean that they're going to have bad returns going forward. So you really have to be patient with value, and you have to be able to take some pain.
But there's an interesting thing here as well, because we've talked about that cash on the sideline and that you've got 25% of the assets of the fund in cash. Normally, when people hear value's not working, they might think that means it's a buying opportunity, that, hey, we're at a spot where, you know, it's downtrodden and I'm a value investor. I'll go in and try to do it when things aren't working. You're not saying that, wow, there are great values to be had. Value's not working, but valuations are part of the problem right now, correct?
Right. And that's why we're 25% cash. The 75% that we're invested in, we love, we think we'll have positive, good returns going forward. We'll outperform the market by double digits, I think, because it's kind of easy to outperform the market over the long term from this starting point, because valuations are so high. So the valuation of our 75% invested portfolio is like 50% discounted to the S&P right now. And I would argue that our companies have better growth prospects than the S&P. So over the long term, that's going to do great, but we can't find one more stock to buy. We look not only at the S&P, but we look at the Russell 2000, and we look at stocks that are in neither index. So all told, we're looking at 3,500 companies, and we can only find 22 worth owning right now. So the cash is certainly going to help if valuations contract, if we have multiple contraction, which is also known as a bear market. And we will be deploying that cash, but a lot of things have a long way to go before we get interested in them. I think that's what happens with a classic bubble, is something's expensive. Institutional guys like myself get out. It goes up another 20, 30, 50%. If there's a 10% correction, it's still, 30 to 40% away from where I want to buy it. So there'll be a lot of thin air that some of these speculators will run into, and we'll have the cash and the patience, to deploy eventually when they come back to where we think they should be.
Okay. Let's not talk about what you don't own for the time being, and let us do talk about what you do own. Because now my audience is going, okay, there's only 22 things in the fund. There's only 22 stocks you can buy, and you've described what it is that you're looking for. Give us a name of one or two things that are worth owning right now.
You got it. Teradata is the one value stock that we found in the last few months, actually. That's our one loan purchase. Teradata sells big data scientists. Basically, they're building these data centers to keep track of firms' data and to analyze it. So it's a full service solution. They're the only independent company doing this. They compete with the big guys like SAP and Oracle, but Teradata is really a standalone. If you're going to bet on data science, that's the company you get. There was a ton of excitement about this thing. It ran up to the moon, and the growth has completely stalled out at this high growth company, and the stock has gone from $80 to $40. So it's a 50% decline. It's a very ugly chart in a market where, as everybody knows, the market's gone straight up for 5 years. So there are very few charts that look like that. And of the charts that do look like that, they're usually companies on their way out. But there's nothing of the sort happening to Teradata.
Teradata, remind my audience, is ticker symbol TDC.
That's right. And if you listen to management, their top customers in the Americas, North and South America, they have completely slowed down and reanalyzed their data spending. They're still spending, but the increase has completely gone away. However, all their emerging companies, the rest of their customer base, is actually still increasing at double-digit rates. So we've seen their customer base, the percentage of revenue coming from large companies is rapidly decreasing, and the percentage of revenue coming from small companies is rapidly increasing. So we're at that inflection point where those smaller companies are a more material part of their revenue. And of course, as the larger companies in the Americas restart their data spending, which they will, management says revenues could grow at 10%. So a double-digit revenue growth rate on a valuation this low is very attractive. So, you know, it's our classic value stock. It's just out of favor, very low downside, we think, from here, and pretty good upside if they get back to those rates. Even if they don't, that we should get a decent return.
Okay, quickly, one other.
One other, wow. It's been a while, but I think last time I was on the show, we talked about Black Hawk Networks. We could update about that one. They're the ticker is Hawk, H-A-W-K, and they are one of the largest independent distributors of gift cards. And they also do digital, so that's a pretty important part of the business. Since the last time I was on the show, they partnered with Amazon Further to do more digital distribution. So you can buy a physical gift card, you know, with the A on it at any most marketplaces. But if you were to buy digital gift cards on Amazon, it's actually going across Blackhawk's network. You know, it's not going across Amazon, which is pretty impressive because Amazon is a several hundred billion dollar company and Blackhawk is a $1 billion company. So Amazon trusts Blackhawk to do this. They're sending them a ton of volume. I think it really speaks to the safety and competitive advantage of Blackhawk Networks.
Okay. So that's Hawk and a good update there. Now we're going to see how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
My guest here on Money Life is Brian Frank. He is the manager of the Frank Fund, the Frank Value Fund. It is ticker symbol FRNKX. He is the president of Frank Capital Partners. If you want more information on the firm or the funds, it's frankfunds.com. You know how hold it or fold it works, so we're going to get straight to it. And we're going to start with a request we got from Kirk in Huntsville, Alabama, for Science Application International Corp. It's ticker symbol SAIC.
We like it. We think you should buy it. It's a defense contractor that's a relatively recent spinoff, and defense spending is finally coming back after 2 years of contraction at the Department of Defense.
Okay, so that is a buy on SAIC, Science Applications International Corp.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
And for anybody who knows where that that sounder came from, it's from a movie that's all about defense spending in its own way. It's a Steven Seagal film. Maybe one day we'll make that a trivia question on this show. Next up, Ning in New York wants to know about OPCO Health Incorporated. That's OPK.
I think you have to sell it here. This is a one of those biotechnology companies that doesn't really have any real profit. They're always coming out with press releases and things like that, but it's a $3.7 billion company that really has an outside shot at ever approaching that valuation, I think.
Okay. And so when you talk about a stock like that, I mean, for somebody who's doing it, is there a case that you can say, hey, you know, you got lucky and you made things and made some money on this and, you know, take your profits and don't wait? Or is it just one of those things that, like, hey, I got no clue how they got to where they are now?
I think you got to take the profits. If you're going to play biotech, you want to go for maybe one of those equal weight indexes or, you know, go get your PhD and figure out what the small companies are.
All right.
You know, the small companies that double and triple, they're worth hundreds of millions, not $3.7 billion.
There you go.
And now for the profit taking.
That was a sell on OPCO Health, OPK. Now, Ning in New York had another request. This one he shared with Josh in Petaluma, California for eBay. It's ticker symbol eBay.
We've owned eBay before. It's a fantastic company. PayPal is one of the best assets out there, but it's one of the cases of a great company at a bad price. It's at 13 times EBITDA. It just, I don't see much multiple expansion here, so I think you should sell it.
Okay, so as much as, well, we sometimes say, good company, bad stock. Well, bad stock means sell it. That was a sell on eBay, ticker symbol EBAY.
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
Now, Josh had two other requests. The first one, Microsoft Corporation, MSFT. And before I say anything else, I should point out that happens to be in my portfolio as well.
Well, it's in my portfolio too, Chuck. It's our number one holding. We think the new CEO is doing great things. He could probably start cutting costs from here. So Microsoft's just beginning to get respect, but it's still one of the cheapest companies in the S&P 500.
Well, then it's one of the rare ones where you've got a valuation that you like. So that's a buy on Microsoft, ticker symbol MSFT.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
And our last request also comes from Josh in Petaluma. It's for Cisco Systems, ticker symbol CSCO.
Well, Josh is thinking tech, and we like big cap tech right now, from Teradata to Microsoft to Cisco. Cisco is actually cheaper than Microsoft because Cisco is having trouble growing right now, but it's still light years away from the median valuation in the S&P. So Cisco's a big buy for us as well.
When you talk about a company that's having trouble, and we talk about valuations, how much do you go looking for trouble? I mean, how much do you consider trouble one of those things that's going to get you the price you want?
Yeah, there's trouble is really a byproduct of the process. If we can find something like Blackhawk Networks that's a growth company with no trouble that's cheap, that's the best case scenario. But that rarely happens. So Cisco is not in deep trouble, meaning they're not losing customers. Their customers are just taking their time in buying their products. You know, they're resetting their budgets, et cetera, like Teradata. So that's okay. As a value investor, usually I have a longer time horizon. We think 3 and 5 years out, a couple bad quarters, that's just business. Business is lumpy. So that's okay.
Okay. So lumpy business or not, that was a buy on Cisco Systems, ticker symbol CSCO.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
Well, right now, all I can think about is goodbyes, because I have to say our goodbyes to Brian Frank, manager of the Frank Value Fund. Like I said, folks, just crossed its 10-year track record. If you want to see that track record, it's all linked up where you find Brian's picture on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. It'll lead you to frankfunds.com for more information. But again, the short course, yeah, 10-year track record, and it's a 10-year history of beating the S&P 500 throughout. Brian, thanks as always for joining us. I hope we get a chance to do this again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you. Sounds great.
Well, there's just a little bit more to go on the September 9th edition of Money Life, but come back and we'll cross the finish line together right after this message.